Making Small Talk with Jesus, Chapter 1, read.
A long time ago, making small talk with Jesus, help me lighten my load.
Red. Everything in the room was red. The ceiling, the walls, the curtains, the rug, even the satin sheets I found myself tangled in. I knew I was still drunk, but I didn't have a clue as to where I was. I've been having blackouts lately. Last week at the station's Christmas party, I remembered sneaking a bottle of champagne and Ethel McFerrin back to my office. Next thing I know, I wake up and the room is dark, and I'm laying spread eagle across my desk. 2 days ago, I woke up behind the wheel of my truck, and I couldn't remember the ride from the bar or why I decided to park it on my neighbor's front lawn. I lay there looking up at the blood-red ceiling and took inventory of my body. My head was throbbing. An acid rainstorm was raging in my stomach, and I could tell from the burning sensation behind my eyes they must look like two piss holes in snow. In other words, the usual. But the good news was that my hands weren't swollen, and I felt no soreness or cuts anywhere. So no fight last night. The bad news was, I realized it was already here again. My blue condition. Waking up with the blues in a red room was a new sensation for me. It made me realize that I needed some spiritual intervention in my life. I rolled over on my side and my face laid squarely on a cold piece of metal. I sat up and looked down at a .45 caliber pistol that had slipped out from under the other pillow. Guns scare me, so I was surprised when I found myself picking it up. The safety was off and it was fully loaded. I clicked the safety back on, dropped it, got out of bed and began searching for my clothes. I didn't have to hunt far. They were stacked neatly in the center of a red vanity. A white post-it note was in the middle of the mirror with, you guessed it, red scribbling on it. Dear Jesse Jr., thank you for a wonderful time last night and again early this morning. A large smiley face drawn on the page followed that. Sorry I couldn't cook you breakfast. I owe you one. This early shift at the prison sucks, but it beats the hell out of overnights. Your keys are on the kitchen counter, and I moved your truck off my lawn to the street. Ha 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 ha. That was some exciting ride home last night. Don't be scared if you run into my daughter Emily. She won't bite, but don't let her touch you. She's a big time tease. I'll call you at the radio station if I don't hear from you soon. At the bottom of the page was a red Valentine stick-on heart with an arrow through it. The note was signed B. I looked around the room for clues as to who the hell B might be, but found nothing. Not even a photograph. I opened the closet and saw four identical uniforms with Atwood Correctional Facility patches sewn on the shoulders. There were some plaid shirts, blue jeans on hangers, two pairs of shiny black military-style boots. I was getting a little nervous about B's identity when I spied a pair of red high heels and lady sandals in a far corner. I sat and looked at myself in the vanity. Bloodshot eyes and flaccid white skin, a loser lacking both confidence and courage. I stumbled into the kitchen, and as soon as I laid eyes on her, I wished I had at least rinsed my mouth and run a comb through my hair. I also wished I was 10 years younger. Damn, she was something. Emily was sitting on a stool at the counter, wearing a pair of loose white shorts. Three unfashioned buttons running up the sides, revealing plenty of her rounded thighs. I made some coffee, she said, and it should have been illegal to have a voice so husky when it was possessed by a young woman who had so many other physical gifts. Blonde hair, sun-kissed skin, and full-sized lips. Seeing her like that, a snatch of a Dylan lyric came to mind. I just don't know what to do. I'd give anything to be with you. Without looking at me, she said, "You look like you could use some coffee." Before I could answer, she walked to the stove, poured it in a cup, and sat it on the edge of the counter. Mama said I should cook breakfast for you. Thank you, but no need to fuss. Suit yourself. She walked back and reached up in the cabinet for another cup, showcasing her ample buttocks and long legs. What did the note say?
She won't bite, but don't let her touch you.
Don't let her touch you. We both drank our coffee. You're the host of the Country Bus Show, right? I don't listen to it much. You play too many sad tunes for my taste. I like music that gets my engine running, if you know what I mean. I'm also in charge of programming. I know what you do. I know something about the communication business. Really, I said. Really, she answered. She turned and faced me. I tried hard not to look directly at her breast, so I lowered my red eyes and drank more coffee. You spoke to my media class last year at the community college. You probably don't remember me, because I'm much better looking this year, she said, stepping out of her heeled slippers, but I swear she didn't lose an inch in height. What are you majoring in? You can't major at community college. But I just got accepted at State University, and I plan to study computer science. Somebody's got to save the planet. State tuition ain't easy on the pocketbook. True that. That's why I dance part-time at the Golden Slipper. The tips are great. I bet they are. You should come by and bring some of your DJ friends with you. I'll give you the VIP treatment. I can make you look real good in front of your clients. She smiled and spread those rosy lips and stuck her tongue out just a bit. That can be arranged, I said, stupidly trying to turn on a little charm. Then I went out on a limb and reached for Clever. I bet folks are always telling you how much you look like your mama. Not for years. She cocked an eyebrow. Wait, you still drunk or something? You think Brenda is my mother? You are Emily, right? Yeah, but Emily Price, not Sykes. My mama died when I was in the 8th grade. Brenda took me in and raised me, so that's why I call her mama. My real mama was Lucille Price. Lucille Price, the former beauty queen? The same, sugar. Damn, that makes sense. I'll take that as a compliment. You should, and I'll be happy to give it to you. Now, is there anything I can do for you before I go? She put her hands on her hips, smiled, and said, maybe. She walked over and stood inches from me. My blue condition began to suck what little strength I had. Can you get me a date with your son, Mac 3? You know, that's what JT's nickname is with the ladies. Yeah, I heard tell. Now that boy can cowboy. He's turbocharged. Tell him he can ride me anytime. She pantomimed riding a bucking bronco. It was really time to go. If you don't mind me asking, I said, what day is it? She rolled her eyes at my question and told me it was the day after Christmas. You spent Christmas Day loving and bumping with Big Brenda. I won't tell her you don't even remember. She told me y'all were sweethearts in high school, but you went and knocked up some waitress named Lexi and got married. I snatched my keys off the counter and opened the front door. Thanks for the Java. Hey, look on the bright side. You created one hell of a cowboy, she said. We got a deal, Mr. DJ? You'll hook up little old Emily with Mac 3? You tell him about this filly that needs to be broken, you hear? Consider it done, I lied. I'm spending New Year's Eve at JT's ranch. I'll get you invited. I went out and closed the door, knowing full well if I ever stepped on my son's property, he'd shoot me dead. When I woke up, I was in the cemetery parking lot. My truck parked right in front of the chapel. It was snowing lightly, and the fading gray light cast long shadows behind the ancient gravestones. I lifted the bottle of Johnny Walker Red from my lap and took a long tug and pondered. Why did I come here? Was it to visit baby girl's gravesite, or just sit in the chapel and make small talk with Jesus?
Making Small Talk with Jesus, a country ballad, is produced by Quincy McCoy and Laura Privis. Editing and sound design by Robert Hollywood Rhodes for RJR Productions. Theme music by Beth Custer. This novella was written and read by the author, Quincy McCoy.